I got my body and my mind on the same page, and honey, now happiness is all the rage. I got my body and my mind on the same page, and honey, now happiness is all the rage.
Welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm Kyle McEwen. You can find me on Twitter at RotoKyleNBA. And I'm joined tonight by Mark Roberts. You can find on Twitter at Mark F. Roberts. Our website is DailyFantasyBasketballPodcast.com. You can go there and donate to the site if you like listening to the podcast and you want to support us. Otherwise, we really appreciate it if everybody goes and rates and reviews and subscribes to the podcast on iTunes. And this is a weird request because I feel like you listen to a lot of other podcasts and you'll say to people will say the host will say to their listeners, hey, share us with your friends. But that's an awkward thing to do when we want this to be a tool for you to win fantasy. And if you share this podcast with all your friends in your league, like I understand that that's kind of going against your best interest. How do you feel about this situation, Mark?
So are you saying our advice is so useful that it's a competitive advantage?
In some ways, here's the way I try to say it. Because of the time of the day that we do the podcast, it's available at an opportune time for people to take advantage of using our information and still getting a leg up on people. Like if we posted this in the middle of the day, most people have already made moves from the night before, but if you get this and it's on your iTunes or whatever, and you're driving to work in the morning, like this is the way I envision it, actually being a useful tool. You listen to it on the way to work, you get to work, you sign into Yahoo or ESPN or wherever you play your fantasy games, and you make the pickups that we've suggested or ones that you think are appropriate for your teams. And that's kind of like, you know, if we just did this in the middle of the day, I would kind of feel like it was, and I'm not throwing shade at anybody or anything. Like, this is just, I want this to be a useful tool, not just a couple of jerk-offs sitting here talking about basketball.
Yeah, well, I've long proposed to our listeners that what they should do is rather than having the awkward conversation where they recommend the podcast to their friends, to just take their friends' phones and download it and rate and review the podcast from their friends' phones. So that way we get the extra subscribers and downloads and their friends don't know that it's on their phone. So everybody wins.
Well, I mean, if they actually do use the iTunes app, though, they would eventually find out.
You could put it near the bottom. Like, you know, you have to scroll through the podcast that you have. If they have enough, you just put it towards the bottom. They won't notice.
All right. Sounds reasonable to me. Let's start talking about some NBA basketball. We had some pretty exciting news come out on Monday. Probably the coolest news that came out was that Jabari Parker of the Milwaukee Bucks is going to make his NBA debut on Wednesday. So pretty awesome news. He's only going to play about 15 to 20 minutes for the first however long the Bucks determine until he finally gets ramped up, gets more minutes. They feel comfortable. He's also going to be sitting out one game of a back-to-back set. The Bucks, I think their next two, they have like two back-to-backs coming up over the next week, week and a half. So there's going to be two situations there where Jabari misses a game. So this is more of like a, you can pick them up if you can stash them, if you can hold on to them, if you can start using them and getting a little bit of value out of them, playing a couple of minutes a night. But just you have to know it's going to be harder to own Jabari in those daily lineup head-to-head leagues than it is in a roto league or the weekly leagues, often like we talk about pretty much every night.
Agreed.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Let's get into the exciting seven games that we had this evening. The Cleveland Cavaliers sized up the Philadelphia 76ers, and they beat them handily. It doesn't really show when you look at the final score, 107 to 100, but Cleveland was up so much in the third quarter that the fourth quarter was pretty much just the reserves playing. So we saw TJ McConnell have a great night off the bench for the Philadelphia 76ers, put up 6 points, seven rebounds, 12 assists, one steal in just 23 minutes. We've talked about him a little bit, Mark, because there's not a lot of good point guard options on that Philadelphia 76ers team. Isaiah Cannon, who started at point guard, played 31 minutes, but put up just 7 points, two rebounds, and one assist with 1 3-pointer. How much of a possibility do you think it is that TJ McConnell ends up usurping Isaiah Cannon as the starting point guard?
Well, I mean, probably neither of them are worthy of being a starting point guard on the other 29 teams. But this is the 76ers we're talking about, so it's certainly possible. Just to add a note into what you were saying about the score earlier, I think Philadelphia was up in this game at halftime. I think they were by as much as, I don't know, double digits at least. So, the third quarter was certainly not competitive, but at least the first half, they were doing competitive types of things in Philadelphia. And I don't know, I've been a little disappointed by Cannon. Like, he's getting the amount of playing time that he needs. We know that he's not a big assist guy. He's more of a shooter, but he's not putting up the points either that I would expect. The scenario that I could see playing out where McConnell becomes the starter is that Philadelphia decides they need a better distributor to get Okafor the ball, to get Noel the ball, to get Stauskas the ball and Covington the ball. And so they put in McConnell as maybe the better passer.
Well, I mean, right now, so Nick Stauskas moved into the starting lineup. Robert Covington returned to action earlier than anybody thought.
Yeah, good for him.
The reports were weeks that he was potentially going to be out with his knee sprain, but he was back in the lineup playing limited minutes, just 19 minutes for Covington, but they put him right into the starting lineup, so you love that. 22 minutes for Covington. I ended up finishing with 4 points, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, just 1 of 9 from the field. So bad shooting night, but he did some of the other things that he does well in getting you steals in limited minutes. So if Covington's available out there, you got to go pick him up, right? If for standard leagues.
Yeah, probably. I think he has to be owned in every standard league. I think there could be, your team could be so stacked, if you've listened to us, right, that your 10-team league, you maybe can't find room for Covington. But by and large, he needs to be owned.
That was so dorky. The if you've listened to us thing.
I was just trying to play off your
advantage
we were.
It was like sexy, adorable in one way, but it was also ridiculously dorky in another way. Isaiah Cannon, are you riding? I guess, what are you doing with these guys? Because a lot of people have Isaiah Cannon sitting on the roster. So I don't think he's going to have consistent value. I don't think he's going to have long-term value. I think you pick up somebody who's going to be in a better position going forward. Nick Stauskas played 29 minutes in his second game of the season, put up 15 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 3 three-pointers, took 9 three-point attempts, 9 of his 10 field goal attempts.
That might be his best game of his career.
Well, of course it is, because he actually played 29 minutes.
He was one of the best players on the court.
He came out, and I think he scored 12 of his – I think he had like 12 DraftKings points in the first quarter. So he was coming out doing some work early. And as you pointed out, Philadelphia played well in the first quarter. They've gotten intriguing. Now that they actually have a healthy roster, or a somewhat healthy roster right now, Nick Stauskas, Robert Covington, Nerlens Noel, and Jahlil Okafor, that's an interesting starting lineup for a young team.
Yeah.
So,
do you think they'll move? I mean, I guess it's just speculation at this point. I think what you do with McConnell is, if you can – he's not going to get 12 assists every game.
No, I mean, he played 23 minutes, so that's not enough. With McConnell, you're just keeping an eye on him, and you can consider using him on as a punt play against a good team, maybe. So if you see a situation where Philadelphia is matching up against another Cleveland-type team, one of the elite teams in the league, maybe on those nights you know that Philadelphia is more likely to get blown out right now early in the season. So then maybe you throw McConnell in there as a punt play on a daily game site or whatever. That's the only today move that I would make with McConnell. But I do think he should be on people's watch list.
Yeah, because I do think there's a chance that he becomes the starter.
Absolutely. But then you also have to take into account, how long does that last? If Kendall Marshall's coming back and if Tony Roten's coming back. And honestly, if I'm owning one of these guys, expecting them to take the starting point guard role on this Sixers team, I really think it's going to end up being Kendall Marshall, because I just think they're going to want somebody who's going to facilitate, set up Noel, set up Robert Covington, and then just be a second ball handler for Nick Stauskas.
I can see that, but if McConnell can come in and provide that before Marshall gets back, you know, I can't say for sure it's not going to be him.
Totally possible. And I mean, I don't have the greatest read on McConnell,
I don't have a good read on Philadelphia in general. I mean, that's why I said it's just basically speculation. But as far as what to do, I think you're right. Like, my basic point was he's not going to have standard league fantasy value every night. And so I would put him as – I'm intrigued, though, so I'm putting him as close as I can to my team, whether that means I can stash him on my roster or whether I just need to put him on my watch list and then wait for him to become the starter in Philadelphia. I don't feel like, are we in agreement there? He's not going to have like every night standard league value until he becomes the starter.
McConnell. And, yeah.
No, and then you're saying that might not even last very long, but
right. So it might be a short-term investment. So if you've got a player who you're more committed to the whole season or who you know is going to have sustained value throughout the season, it may not be worth dumping that guy for a short-term ad who might give you a few more assists or whatever.
I'm just saying, I don't think you make the move until he becomes the starter.
Right. No, that's well, yeah. Essentially, yeah, exactly. Unless you, of course, saw a bunch of minutes going his way and they were just being weird with the rotations or whatever. But that's not generally the way that Philadelphia does stuff. All right, cool. Let's talk about another game. That was a lot of talk about that game.
LeBron James was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he's always awesome. Do we ever need to mention LeBron James on this podcast? 22, 9, and 11. He almost got a triple-double, had 4 steals, 2 blocks. You know, yeah, that, you know, it's thank nice you. To appreciate
when he's awesome. Yeah,
it is. I'm sorry, LeBron. Way to go, buddy. And just 33 minutes, too. So we're keeping him healthy. Let's do that, too. All right. Milwaukee versus Brooklyn. Milwaukee won 103-96. This game went down to the last minute or so. And then Michael Carter-Williams left the game with an ankle injury. It was weird. It was non-contact. So I don't know if he was walking backwards at the time. Kind of a diagonally, it was bizarre. He's a goof troop, so he ended up either
is that your expert analysis that he's a goof troop?
Pretty much, he either ended up spraining his ankle or tearing his Achilles. So we'll see whether or not we need to just
so he'll either be day to day or he'll be out for the season,
one of the two,
or somewhere in between.
No drastic. Yeah, it's going to be bad. MCW on his ankle. It's good. I'm fine. Says he slipped on a wet spot. Okay. He's a goof troop. Got it. He literally did do something cartoony. That's hilarious.
That's good, though. I mean, thank goodness he didn't tear his Achilles.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, he wasn't writhing around in pain like Brandon Jennings was. That was not hard to say. Anyways, this Milwaukee Bucks team versus the Brooklyn Nets. The Bucks started Jared Bayless next to Michael Carter-Williams in the backcourt for Monday's game, and Bayless had a heck of a game. This was not an overtime game, and Bayless played 47 minutes in regulation, put up 26 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 6 3-pointers. Watched this whole game. He looked good, played well, fits in nicely.
Do you think the coach forgot to sub him out?
No, he was hitting his shots. And on this Bucks team that was 0-3 coming into this game, that is 0-3, right? Yeah, they were 0-3 coming into the game. They were struggling to hit their shots. Nobody looked good. Chris Middleton looked good in this game. He was hitting his shots, looked confident. Giannis had his third straight 20-point game. I went out last night after the podcast, and I rewatched the first two Bucks games of the season. To see, or the first two Giannis Bucks games of the season. The first game doesn't even count since Giannis wasn't playing. And he looks so good all the time that I went out and I tried to trade for Giannis in literally every single league I did not have him in. And I know that that's not smart because you don't want to put all your eggs in every lineup. Nah.
He looks good.
But exactly. It's like, do you not want a first round player on your team? Like, are you going to turn down a first round player if you can go obtain him? So I went crazy, man. I was offering. Oh yeah. I got him for Derek Favors in one of the listener leagues. I was offering Gordon Hayward for him. I was offering packages of Jahlil Okafor and Marcus Morris for him. I was trying to offer a legitimate trade to get Giannis. Like, I wasn't out there just dipping my toe in the water and saying, hey, you want to make a trade? I was out there going, let's make a trade. I will give you something that's actually decent.
Gordon Hayward, that's pretty high value for him, I would say.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Giannis isn't worth it. I'm just saying that's, you know, Gordon Hayward's somebody that was like, what, 15th in our preseason ranks?
somebody asked me on Twitter, they're like, hold on, really, Gordon Hayward? And I was like, you know what? When I look at it, I feel like Giannis's potential is higher than Hayward in pretty much every category. So when I looked at it.
I mean, Gordon, the advantage Hayward has is assists, right?
Sometimes. Yes, right now. But I don't think that's I think by the end of the season, Giannis is option one on this Bucks team.
So, I mean, tell me what, sort of line do you think that Giannis could get to this year? Let's, like, really, like, if you're saying people ought to trade for him, and I don't disagree. I mean, he's looked great.
He's
points, rebounds, assists. Like, what do you think he can get to?
I think he's going to get you 7 to 9 assists a game. He's going to get you over 20 points a game. He's going to get you over a block a game. He's going to have good steals games. He's going to get you good.
7 to 9 assists?
I meant rebounds.
Okay, rebounds. Yeah. That's fine. I just wanted to clarify so nobody yelled at you on Twitter.
No, thank you. No, I'm not that coked out. but yeah, 21 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks tonight, 1 three-pointer. Everything just looks good from him. Once in a while, he gets a little bit too bullheaded and he starts making mistakes a little bit. But when you see him charging down the court, going, you know, at light speed, just like a gazelle, and then he gets to the rack and he softly touches the layup off the backboard while he's like contorting his body out of bounds, I just think he's going to be probably a first round player by the end of the season. So.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the percentages, too. They're out of this world right now.
Yeah.
So it's...
It looks good. And the three-pointers are there, which is great. I have nothing bad to say about Giannis. I would still take Gordon Hayward over him this season, but I can understand the optimism.
Cool. Thank you. Or whatever. It's a conversation worth having. I don't know why Gravis Vasquez keeps playing so much off the Bucks bench. Does anybody really like him?
Michael Carter-Williams he had 4 personal fouls.
Carter-Williams actually finished with 5 personal fouls. So
yes, excuse me, 5. Yep.
And he did only play 23 minutes. I just don't like Gravis Vasquez. He had 8 assists. He was 0 of 8 from the field.
I think Milwaukee likes him. I think they're going to play him when Carter Williams either is not shooting well enough to stay on the floor or gets in foul trouble or has lots of turnovers. So I don't know if that means anything for fantasy wise, except for that maybe Carter Williams's minutes are not going to be as high as you want them to be.
I don't think – I would hope that Carter Williams – we'll see, man. The thing is, if you took Carter Williams, you did it knowing that he might break out or he might improve – or he might just be what he is. But I think you were getting Michael Carter-Williams at a deep enough in the draft that he's worth...
He's one of those players you have to appreciate what he gives you. Like, he's never going to... I don't know. He might...
Let's talk about it together, but
he had 6 points tonight, so that might be disappointing. But he also had 5 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks, which is outstanding. You just have to appreciate... Like I said, you have to appreciate what he offers you and not be too disappointed with what he doesn't give you.
Yeah, exactly. Appreciate people for what they do for you, not how they hurt you, especially in head-to-head.
Yeah.
All right, on the Brooklyn Nets side of things, we saw Joe Johnson play 41 minutes, but he still only put up 14 points and 6 assists. You want more out of Joe Johnson. You always do. Brook Lopez, 18 points, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks. He finally took a 3-point attempt. He's one of those guys who they talked about having him take some 3-pointers who did not come out of the gates blazing with 3-pointers. Markel Brown started a 2nd straight game at shooting guard. Nobody knows why. Bojan Bogdanović had a couple of good games here. I think he's trying to win back that starting job at shooting guard on the Nets. He scored 19 points in the last game, 14 points on Monday to go with 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 2 3-pointers. Bojan Bogdanović is somebody who should be on your watch list right now if you're looking for someone who could end up helping you in scoring and 3-pointers. Poor man's Kyle Korver, I guess.
Kyle, there's something exciting about nearly every team in the league right now, which is awesome. And And that hasn't always been the case in the NBA. I think the Nets are like the one exception.
That's fair.
Like, there's no reason that I ever want, like, I actively try to avoid Nets games at this point.
Who, I still don't know who Markel Brown is, because there's no reason to get to know him. Like, when I watch him play, I don't see NBA player. I see, why is there this D-League cat always playing in the NBA? So, and that's kind of mean, but it's just real, too.
I don't know how Nets fans are going to make it through this season. They're the least interesting team in the league at this point.
I don't know, man. You know, I think it's like any fan. You always delude yourself into some level of hope that you're going to make the playoffs, or you're going to be somewhat relevant, or the young guys on your team are actually good.
They have none of those things. They're not going to make the playoffs. They don't have any interesting players. They don't have any young players, and they don't have any draft picks.
What is Rondae Hollis-Jefferson? A offenseless, polite Draymond Green?
Sure.
Okay.
I would have said like a young, poor man's Andre Iguodala, but I guess we're finding comps on the same team, so maybe that's close.
Yeah, I like the Iguodala one, but with not enough bravado to actually do anything on offense.
Yeah.
All right, let's look at that San Antonio-New York game. Kristaps Porzingis came out all gangster style and put up 13 points. That was really dorky. I'm sorry. 13 Kyle, points.
Somebody on Twitter referred to him as our Latvian love child.
He is. I wish.
I enjoyed that description very much.
Go ahead. He was what?
I was going to say he was our Latvian love child tonight, man. He was awesome.
13 points, 14 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 1 three-pointer, 5 of 15 from the field. You don't like that, but he did it all in 24 minutes before leaving the game with an injury. Carmelo literally landed on his neck. Now, I don't know how that happens to a 7'3" guy, but it's looks a little bit like this. We're going to try and show you. Porzingis was bent over trying to pick up a rebound, and then Carmelo fell over the back of him and landed on his neck with his butt, Carmelo's juicy booty right on his neck. And they took x-rays of Porzingis' neck after the game. They said he's fine. He's got no concussion. He's got a neck strain, though, so we don't know.
He looks not great. I said the video you're showing right now doesn't look great.
Yeah. So it doesn't. Essentially, we don't know exactly the extent of the injury, but hopefully it's nothing silly like a herniated disc or anything like that. I don't want to scare anybody, but at least we're seeing some great lines out of Porzingis when he is healthy and on the court. Robin Lopez played 32 minutes. This is the second straight game that Lopez played over 30 minutes. The first two games of the season, he had played just 20 minutes. So that's probably going to take away minutes from guys like Kyle O'Quinn and Kevin Serafin and Derek Williams on the Knicks bench. So keep that in mind.
I get so many Kyle O'Quinn questions, and I know that people want to love him because the potential is there, and I get the potential, but like, there's just not a role where he plays 30 minutes this season unless somebody gets hurt. Like, if Porzingis is hurt, heaven forbid, then yeah, Kyle O'Quinn becomes very interesting. But until then, like, you just – don't get sucked in, man. Don't feel like Kyle O'Quinn's going to get you enough production, because in 19 minutes, there's nobody that can be productive enough in 19 minutes to be on your fantasy team.
If you're playing on a daily game site, you filled up your lineup with a bunch of good players. You only got limited money left, and you need a reliable player who's going to put up good permanent production in limited minutes. That's Kyle O'Quinn. He's a good value buy on daily games. But like Mark said, if you don't have an opportunity to play the minutes, you're not going to be good for fantasy. Yep. One New York Knicks guy that I think we've talked about putting him on our watch list. You keep hearing good stuff about Jerian Grant from all the players. Carmelo said that he likes it when Jerian's out there on the court more than when he's not. We saw Derek Fisher talking about how there's times out there.
A nice way for him to say that he doesn't like when Jose Calderon's on the court.
Probably. That's the way I took it. And then Derek Fisher came out on Monday and said that he liked the way that when there's certain times where Grant and Porzingis are out there and it looks like the future. So you like those comments, and hopefully it leads to some good value there.
I wish they would have asked Fisher, when he sees the future, does he see himself in the coach's seat or in the stands as one of the fans cheering on the team?
Oh, man, you are vicious. You are vicious. You know, I love that Porzingis played so well against the Spurs, too.
Yeah.
So I didn't put him in.
He's a talented player, man. Oh, go ahead.
No, you're good.
I was just going to say, he's talented. And, like, everybody talked about how raw he was this preseason, but he's played professional basketball for a number of years. So, you know, for some extent, that this isn't really a surprise.
Right. You talked about in the preseason often that Kristaps Porzingis played in a good league over in Europe, and he had good competition that he was matching up with.
And
that
he was highly productive.
Yep. And he played big minutes, not like a lot of the guys that you see playing over in Europe where they use these extended rotations that are like the Spurs on crack. So I don't like all the drug euphemisms I'm using. Anyways, let's move on to the Oklahoma. Is there anything worth saying about the Spurs? Do we want to talk about the fact that
Kawhi Leonard's been darn good this season?
Yep. Four blocks. Really? We're going to get four blocks out of a Kawhi Leonard?
Oh, man.
He's beasting it. LaMarcus Aldridge, 19 points, 6 rebounds. I think that's him. That's LaMarcus right there.
Yeah. 32 minutes.
Yep.
Not like quite it. 20 points. Not as many rebounds as you'd hope for. He'll probably get some production in the other categories, but not a ton.
The Spurs were playing the second game of a back-to-back, and they actually played everybody. Manu was going to get rested, but he convinced some of the other coaches, what are they called, the assistant coaches, to convince Popovich to let him play. So they let Manu play 17 minutes off the bench. Manu had the first three games of the season, he was great, putting up good daily games numbers at a very cheap salary. I threw him into a lineup tonight and greatly regretted it. He had just 7 points and 3 assists, played just 17 minutes. So that was bad play, Kyle. Should have known better. All right, Oklahoma City versus Houston. Guess who won, everybody?
Houston's not the worst team in the league.
Yeah, they did not lose by 20 points. They beat the Thunder 110 to 105. This was at Houston's home court. We saw Kevin Durant drop 29 points, play 35 minutes. Westbrook put up darn near a triple-double, 25 points, 8 rebounds, 11 assists, 2 steals. Looking at Westbrook's line in just 32 minutes literally just made my hair stand up. It's electrifying. I wasn't trying to make a joke. My body really did kind of tingle looking at that line. Houston Rockets.
Look at James Harden's line.
37 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 4 3-pointers, 9 of 11 from the line, 12 of 26 from the field. You'll take that percentage. He's fine, everybody.
James Harden is still good at basketball. Who knew?
Yep. With Terrence Jones sitting out, they went with the very small lineup again that saw Trevor Ariza playing power forward, Harden at small forward, and Marcus Thornton in there at shooting guard next to Ty Lawson. Ty Lawson had a good game. 14 points, 11 assists, 4 steals, 6 of 10 from the field. For whatever reason, couldn't hit a dang shot at the free throw line, but everybody needs to relax. Like, 3 games in to two ball-dominant players playing together, they've had lineup changes every single game. Like, this team won 56 games last year. They went to the Western Conference Finals against the eventual champions. Houston should be fine.
Yeah, I agree. Dwight Howard played, and he looked pretty good. He had 16 points, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, and 4 blocks. So you like that?
Trade him while the trading's good. He played 35 minutes. That's the most important thing. But you still hate that he sat out the first game of this back-to-back set at a time when the team was reeling.
Yeah.
Like, you would think after 2 back-to-back 20-point losses, Dwight Howard would have been like, I think I should probably play.
I don't think that's how he's built.
I would agree.
Do we need to start caring about Marcus Thornton? I don't only, want to, but
only in a daily games perspective, because this is not going to. Okay, Marcus Thornton lost by 20 points in his first game as the starting shooting guard. Now he won a game against Oklahoma City. I don't see them going to Marcus Thornton and saying, oh, he's gonna be a consistent guy in our rotation. He's there. He's being used because there's other guys who are hurt right now in Terrence Jones, in Donatas Matagiounis. I don't see it, man. But I'm also a renowned Marcus Thornton hater. He played 37 minutes tonight in his second straight start, put up 12 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 three-pointers. Yes, he's had 2 good games, but I would use that in daily games because I don't know how long Terrence Jones is going to be out. He's got a laceration on his eyelid, not like around his eye or under his eye, on his eyelid. So until that heals up, and I don't know the – apparently he can't see out of one of his eyes right now. So because they've got it all kind of closed up and whatnot.
It's not good. So to play basketball if you can't see.
Except Derrick Rose is doing it. And we're mean about that guy all the time.
That's true. No, I don't think you need to worry about Thornton. I hope that we don't have to worry about Thornton again, but if he's going to play 37 minutes, we at least have to pay attention a little bit, I guess.
You can go out there and stream him, but I just don't think he's going to have sustained value.
Yeah. If you were going to stream him, I think all, you know, you're doing it if you need three pointers, basically.
Okay, so if you're going to pick somebody up this morning and you're like, oh, who played well last night? And you're looking through the box scores and you see Nick Stauskas only played 29 minutes, go pick up Nick Stauskas over Marcus Thornton, because Nick Stauskas is going to have more sustained value throughout the course of the season than what Marcus Thornton's going to have.
Agree.
All right, Julio. We'll take a quick look over at that Portland-Minnesota game. It's about to get wrapped up. Damian Lillard went off. He played 37 minutes so far, has put up 34 points, 7 assists, 2 steals, 4 three-pointers. Next to him, CJ McCollum, 18 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 2 three-pointers. I wonder what McCollum's going to actually shoot this year. He shot just 7 of 17 so far on Monday. Myers Leonard, 4 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. It's probably the most guy that needs to be talked about from Portland Trail Blazers. Here's my concern with Myers Leonard. What if he's just not good enough at defense?
Well, okay. I mean, I think that's a reasonable concern, and it could keep him off the court. But I think if they're going to take somebody out for defensive purposes, it's probably McCollum.
But yeah, but they McCollum does more than just serve as a scorer for them. He's also a distributor. Like, who would they? And McCollum can get his own shot, like more so than what most players can in the NBA.
Yeah, and certainly more than Myers Leonard can get.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I think Leonard should be able to be a good defender. Like, he has the tools to do it, physically, but. Yeah, we haven't seen it yet.
He plays kind of upright, though, you know? He doesn't really get down and dirty.
I don't know. I mean, he's still getting the minutes that you'd want. So part of me wants to say it's just poor shooting, which will turn around, because we know that he can shoot better than this. But
you know, I'm worried about the 24 minutes tonight. And
it's a bigger... I would actually say that's pretty, you know, it's not like we think he's going to get a lot more than 24 minutes a night. On a night when he's going well. And so I think 24 minutes on a night when he's shooting this poorly shows that they're still committed to him. Like, if he's not shooting well, he's literally giving him nothing and they're still giving in 24 minutes. I think that means they plan on him playing a lot almost no matter what.
Did you see at all what happened to Karl Anthony Towns? Because he only played like 7 minutes in the first, you know, he ended up playing like 10 or 13 minutes in the first half, but like they didn't get him back in the second quarter for a long time. Ended up, he's got 11 points, 5 rebounds, 4 blocks, 1 three-pointer. That's awesome.
Yeah, and you love the 4 blocks. I mean, kind of this is the same conversation we had last night, which is,
I don't know what happened. You know, here's this Trailblazers Timberwolves game from Monday night. It's a close game, but it was, Minnesota got off to a 34-21 start. Then Portland came back with a 32-19 win in the second quarter. This is what I think happened with this game. It got out of hand early, so teams started doing crazy stuff. Some of the bench guys started playing well. This game is like, it's not wrong, but I think some of the some of the minutes distribution for, oh, sugar plums. Why am I trying to make stuff up now?
Well, and Carl Anthony Towns has four fouls, so that may have played into it. Like
he only had one foul when early, like after he played seven. Ah, man, they brought him back so late in the second quarter, and he only had one foul at that time. It was. I was looking through the box score because I haven't been like every single one of my daily lineups, so I was obsessing over it. Kevin Martin had a great game off the bench. Played 34 minutes, 24 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, two three-pointers, and went to the free throw line 11 times to finish 8 of those there. Kevin Martin's putting up stats off the bench, y'all. He's scored 23 points, 14 points, and now 24 points in the first 3 games. He's got to be owned. You can't not own somebody who's scoring 24 points a night. So,
but you don't think he's going to score 24 points a night?
No. It's like not like – but if he's going to score like 16 points a night off the bench or 18 points a night off the bench, he's going to be useful.
Yeah, and the place he really helps you out is like in a roto league if you're trying to help your pad your free throw percentage.
Yeah.
He's going to get enough volume there that really helps. He's sort of limited everywhere else, though. He's not going to get a lot of assists or rebounds. He hasn't gotten a lot of steals yet. He, you know, historically has done better there.
Right, but you're essentially getting Kyle Korver with a little bit less field goal percentage and a worse 3-point percentage. You're getting Kyle Korver off the waiver wire.
Oh, I mean, Korver does way better at that every category besides points and 3-pointers. I don't know that's true. Like, I think Korver is going to help you a lot more in steals, rebounds. I don't know if assists is fair to say or not, but it's going to have to be more than Kevin Martin.
I'm not buying this.
Look at Korver's.
I'm looking up Korver's. Okay, Korver has never averaged more than 14 points per game in a season, and that was back in 2006-2007. Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, yeah. So I said he's right, not going to give like Korver. Korver's value doesn't necessarily come from points. He's, you know, Martin's not going to get you 4 rebounds and 2.5 assists. He's not going to even get you that 0.6 blocks and 0.7. Well, he might get you those steals. All I'm saying is Korver is more, he does more things in more categories. Martin is more, I'm going to help you in points and free throw percentage. And that's about it.
And 3-pointers.
Yeah. That's okay. All right.
I guess I just, the 2.6 is, okay, when you add it all up, yeah, Korver makes a little bit of sense, but 12 points a game? Come on, man. You're not on my team, bro. Your job is no. His job is to score in what is no, I'm sorry. I'm not rostering a guy because he's really good at the percentages and nothing else. Screw that. Okay? Because if you tell me, "Hey, this guy averages 12 points, 4 rebounds, 2.5 assists," I'm going to say, "Okay, cool. So he's a good player in the NBA, but he's not great." Especially for fantasy,
you 3 3-pointers a game. That's pretty helpful.
That's fine. But that's like the one elite thing he does.
I don't own Korver anywhere either.
You're just a jerk. making me be mean about him.
The whole basis of this conversation was that you were saying Martin is going to give you similar things to Korver, and I'm saying no, Korver's value comes in very different places.
But I don't even like, you know, counting. Much. He had a great season in blocks by getting 0.6 per game, but that's not real. He's averaged 0.3 for his career. So yeah, he's whatever. I will never draft Korver in any league. It will not happen. I don't know if that's a bad thing to admit or an ignorant thing to admit, more importantly. All right, Nemanja Bjelica, 5 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Just keep a good eye on this Bjelica guy because he's the first guy off the bench every single game for Minnesota right now. He played 31 minutes off the bench. Interesting cat, especially since I don't think that the whole season we're going to see Minnesota starting Kevin Garnett and Tayshaun Prince. Possible, but it's really weird to see two guys who are your starters who only play about 18 minutes a game.
Well, they may not stay healthy the whole game, the whole season either.
Andrew Wiggins had a really weird line. 16 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal in just 23 minutes. It's pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, what's going on there?
I have no idea. We'll have to consult the magic ball. Let's take a peek at the Memphis Golden State games just to make sure. They just started, so we're not going to be able to get into the nitty-gritty of it. But it looks like they got Tony Allen still starting for the Grizzlies. Thank goodness they're keeping Jeff Green on the bench. Andrew Bogut remains out with his concussion symptoms. So they got Festus Ezeli starting at center for the Golden State Warriors on Monday. You can definitely use Ezeli in your daily games, but I wouldn't be going out and grabbing him anywhere for your year-long leagues. Mark, I see a lot of people that own Andrew Bogut in standard leagues. Do you? I don't really see. I would want a higher ceiling guy on my team, I guess is what I'd say.
Yeah, I'm not surprised you would say that. I think he's one of those guys that could be like the 120th best player in the league. So from that standpoint, like if you're really needing rebound, you know, that's fine to own him. I'm not waiting for him to come back from injury. Like if he's not there when I need rebounds and blocks, I can find somebody else. So I don't hate owning him. I agree with you. The ceiling is not there. Like he's just never going to play more than 24 minutes a game, but he is pretty out of.
No.
So he will tend to be higher than you would expect.
Right. Yeah. No, he does good things like in the field goal percentage category. He gives you good assists. He does a lot of good things in limited.
But I totally get enough. Like he's a guy that.
Right, you're breaking up quite a bit. But the thing is about Andrew Bogut is he's, like Mark said, he's only going to play about 23 minutes a game. That's not going to get the job done a lot of nights. I would rather have somebody who's got an opportunity to end up putting up much more consistent value. Even if they're in a limited role right now, if there's the potential for them to step into a large role, even if Golden State suffered injuries, I don't think there's a... Like it would take several injuries for you to get to a point where Andrew Bogut's playing 28 to 32 minutes every single night. That's just not going to happen for that cat.
Yeah, I don't think it's happening either. I'm more likely to own him in the second half of the season than in the first half of the season. Like in the first half of the season, I'm trying to find the high ceiling guys and see who works out and who doesn't. I'm more looking for just stable value. I might try to target somebody like Andrew Bogut.
Totally. All right, dudes, I'm trying to make sure we don't have any other news that we missed out on here. Doodly-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Nope, looks like we covered all the big news and notes points. Mark, you good What's to up? Go? Got anything else we yeah. need to talk about? Cool. No, all right, I guess for me, I would just tell everybody if Stauskas is available out there, go add him. If Robert Covington is available out there, go add him. Obviously, make sure you're dropping appropriate players for these guys. If you own Bogut in a 10-12 team league, it's tough if you were depending on him for blocks, but I wouldn't depend on him for blocks. I would try to be looking to get another player, and then if you have to trade for blocks, trade for blocks, but I just don't like owning Bogut. He's got such a limited ceiling. He puts up those great games every once in a while, but it's just not worth it, man. All right. Thank you for listening to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I am Kyle McEwen. You can find me on Twitter at RotoKyleNBA. And this is...
Hey, this is Mark Roberts. You can find me on Twitter at Mark F. Roberts.
Thank you for listening to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, everybody. Please rate and review us on iTunes. We love you. Have a good day. Our theme music is Happiness is All the Rage by The Promise Ring. Well, bye.
I got my body and my mind on the same page. And honey, now happiness is all the rage. I got my body and my mind on the same page. And honey, now happiness is all the rage.